Greg Stafford spent a significant part of his childhood in the uptown neighborhood of Central City.
That's where all your Masonic parades started, at Shakespeare Park, all the church parades, Eastern Stars, Elks, Knights of Pythias, Odd Fellas. Just about every other Sunday there was a parade in that community when I was growing up.
Came time for high school, Greg Stafford had moved downtown, but hoped to go to school uptown at Walter L. Cohen, where, on account of overcrowding, he was having a hard time getting permission to enroll.
The principal noticed me. He says, "Hey man, what are you doing in the office every day?" So I said to him, "I'm trying to get in school." He says, "What do you mean you're trying to get in school?" I says, "Well, I've been waiting for 6 weeks to get a permit and get in school." So he checked my records and noticed that I was a AB student. He says, "Oh, we're going to enroll you today because we have people who are enrolled and don't want to be in school. And here you not enrolled and trying to get in school. So we're going to make a way for you." So he looked at my schedule card and he says, "Well, look, unfortunately, you can't enroll in the industrial arts because that class is closed out. It's overpopulated." You know, I'd always did well with my hands. I was drew pretty good and I was making good grades in industrial arts and drawing, mechanical drawing. So he says, "So you have two choices. No, you have one of three choices. Instrumental music, vocal music, or home economics." Home economics.
No this way. This was not going to play well in the neighborhood,
you know,
right?
You know, normally that's a girl's elective. So I says, "Well, I don't like wearing choir robes, so I'm going to try maybe instrumental music." So he says, "Okay, well, you take this and you go home and get your mother to sign this." So as I was walking out of the office, the band instructor, he happened to be in the office at the time. So he comes up behind me and he says, "Open your mouth and grit your teeth like this." I said, I'm looking at him. He says, "What's wrong with gritting my teeth?" He said, "Yeah, grit your teeth. Just do what I say." So I did it. He says, "Yes, you're going to choose instrumental music." I says, "Well, I have to check with my mother on that." You know, and for a number of years, I always wanted to become involved in music with my mother. She kind of had this notion in her mind that I would become disinterested in and she'd waste her money. So I says, "Well, look," I said, "I have to get my mother to sign the consent form." So I left school that day, and when I arrived home, my mother, she was waiting. "So did you get in school today?" I said, "Yes, I did. I was able to get in." I says, "But I need you to do something because I don't have an elective at the moment." So the band instructor asked me would I be interested in music. "Oh, no, I don't have no money to pay for no horn, so you can just scratch that." So, but the band instructor had informed me that he would be willing to give me an instrument. So I told her that. She said, "No, I'm not going to sign anything like that because if you lose it, I'm still responsible for the instrument." So I was a little upset. And I went back to school the next morning. So the band instructor, he was standing in the office waiting for me. I says, "Well, look, my mother don't want to sign the papers." He said, "Well, why would she sign?" I says, "Because she feels that I'm going to lose the instrument and she's still going to be responsible for paying for it." He says, "Tell her don't worry about the instrument. No, if you lose it, don't worry about it." So I thought, "Wow, that's great." I go back home. My mother says, no, I don't want to hear that. You're not going to no instrument or music. And furthermore, that's that." So I cried like a baby all night long. The next morning, you know, my mother was working at Woolworths at the time. And she would get up like maybe 4:30 in the morning. And she would be leaving out the door around 6. So she got up early. And she came, touched me. She says, "Look, I'm going to sign this paper, but you tell it, man, I'm not going to be responsible if you lose the instrument." So went to school, and that began my introduction into the wonderful world of instrumental music.
Greg Stafford worked hard and developed quickly. He was invited to join the Cohen Band after just 1 year of instruction, and pretty soon was picking up work with several uptown brass bands, including the legendary Doc Pollen Band. He enjoyed playing immensely, but didn't initially consider music as a potential career.
It didn't occur, it didn't come to me to look deeper into becoming a professional musician until I met Danny Barker. You know, because in New Orleans, you know, we tend to take things for granted. You know, we just go on about our normal business. And, you know, watching the parades and playing those church parades, those benevolent society parades, you know, I didn't look forward to this becoming a career, But then when Danny Barker came on the scene, and when I met him, you know, it was through his preaching and lecturing about how deep the music was and something that we should be trying to preserve as youngsters. And he was there to present that opportunity and give us some conscious insight of what the music was about.
Rex Dapper was 19, going to college and working the late shift at a 24-hour restaurant on Bourbon Street when he met Danny Barker. The connection came through one of his regular customers at the restaurant, New Orleans musician Showboy Thomas.
There were a lot of other people came in. Pork Chop, Kidney Stew, the chief of police, Jerusalem, all the police would come through. Louis Prima came through. Al Hertz Club was just one door down. He would come in. And, you know, I met a lot of entertainers, a lot of workers working at that place. Right. So when Showboy came in, we get in the conversation one night. He says, because I told him I was playing the trumpet and working with the brass bands uptown. And so he says, but look, there's a guy up the street works with me. He's a banjo player, Danny Barker. He has a young church band, a group of guys. And maybe you ought to meet him and see if you get involved with his little church band.
Two nights later, Showboy Thomas brought Danny Barker to meet Greg Stafford. And Stafford right away joined the Fairview Baptist Church band, where such now prominent New Orleans musicians as Leroy Jones and Herlin Riley were already being mentored by Danny Barker.
Nights when we would rehearse, he would introduce us to different trumpet players. He'd bring records, different saxophone players, Coleman Hawkins and Ornette Cobb. He just let us listen at some of these guys and study how they approached the music. And then he would talk about clarinet players, New Orleans, Louis Cottrell, George Lewis. He'd tell the trumpet players, listen at Percy Humphrey, Kid Sheik, Kid Howard, there's Lee Collins, and he was just exposing us to the music and showing us the difference between New Orleans jazz and modern jazz and swing. So he was really, you know, teaching us about all different styles of music, different genres, but with more focus and attention on New Orleans music.
Greg Stafford learned Danny Barker's lessons very, very well. He's toured the world playing and singing great New Orleans jazz, passing those lessons on to new generations of listeners and performers. For 89.9 WWNO, I'm Fred Caston.
I'm gonna lay down my burden down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. I'm gonna lay down my burden down by the riverside. Study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. 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 Ain't gonna study.